hello, hello. Welcome to the Raw Rundown, episode 12. My name is Kenny McIntosh. I am back here with a podcast overload, and I'm here with the Raw Rundown. I've not been here in 2 weeks. Last week you had the Raw Down Smackery. Still a weird name, but I'm here with David J. McCutcheon, the St. Louis native. David J. McCutcheon, how are you, my friend?
Kenny.
David.
So I've heard that you've been gallivanting across the UK with my all-time favorite wrestler, Bret Hart, haven't you?
I don't know what you mean. I was in London, and all of a sudden, Bret Hart walked past me in the street, and he was like, "Kenny, listen, you know David McCutcheon in St. Louis?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm familiar."
He asshole. Said yep. that.
So we both
me?
Nodded. And then he said, "Look, I need to do a run-in at your JR Cornette show just so that you can put it online. David can see it." And I was like, "Okay, Brett, that's fine. I'll do it. Just for you." And I did it because I knew you'd like it.
I feel like you're lying, Kenny. I don't feel that that's what happened. I think that you knowingly brought him over there without even having him sing me a lullaby in order to get me to sleep. He could have called me and sang to me, Kenny, but Bret Hart didn't because you didn't ask him.
Mate, you wouldn't have wanted it. Trust me. But so, yes, I was gallivanting, and I'll tell you one thing. So on Thursday morning, here's a little inside story.
Ooh.
So Wednesday, we picked up JR and Brett from the airport, managed to keep Brett a surprise, which was lovely. And Cornette had been there since Monday because he needed 2 days to get his Xanax to wear off. So we're all good to go, but also I had to pick up the two Japanese wrestlers for the WCPW shows, Desperado and Minoru Suzuki. So we have all these people in London, and they're all in different hotels. And on the Thursday morning, I had to get Brett and his son, Jim Cornette and his wife, JR, the two Japanese guys, and three members of the crew from all different parts of London to one train station so we could all get on the same train to go to Newcastle to deny pay-per-view.
Good lord.
It was the most stressful hour of my life, but I got
Wait
him on
until
the train.
You get married, my friend.
I'm not going there. I'm gonna stay young, free, and single. And you know, but like, yeah, it was a very stressful experience. But you know what? It's cool as shit to get to do this stuff. If you came to any of the shows, I thank you very much. I still don't know how I'm getting to do this stuff, but it's a lot of fun. Thank you to Cody Rhodes, who was a fucking great guest. Jim Ross and Jim Cornette, who were excellent. They're just a great double act. I wish they were on film the whole time. Jim Cornette, who I said to him at one point after he uttered something that I can't even say on air, it's so bad. And I said, "How do you manage to say that stuff and still be a charming bastard?" And then he came out of the in Manchester. There was like a WCPW show and Cornette came out to his entrance, and I just was like grinning from ear to ear. He's fucking guitaring with a tennis racket, gets up on the apron, starts dancing, and he gets backstage at the interval, and I just put my hand on his shoulder, and I said Jim. He was like, "Yes, Kenny." And I said, "You are my spirit animal." and he high-fived me, and we became best friends. So
Jim gets it. Right? Like, he just gets it. He understands what the people want, and he gives it to them. I love Jim. Jim, as you well know, Jim is one of my absolute favorite people in wrestling. I am a Jim Cornette guy.
Oh, he's fantastic. Like, genuinely, whether you agree with his wrestling opinion or not, I can tell you that as a person, there is rarely anybody better. Like, he is such a nice guy. But, anyway, all that aside, we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw. We've not talked about Raw in 2 weeks now, so
we haven't. It's been a long time, Kenny. It's been a long time apart, you know?
It has. Let's not leave it that long again.
No, never.
But so obviously last week you talked about a couple of things, which I've got to say, I was on an airplane, and it was the flight to Cork that I was doing from London. It's mid-afternoon. And I specifically saved the Inside the Ropes podcast for that plane journey, because I thought, it's about an hour, the podcast's about an hour, and there's a point where David starts to say, "Fuck that door," about the cage door, and I just guffawed on this flight. I cackled to a point where the woman beside me was looking at me like I was a weirdo. Then you said the door should get cancer, and I spat part of my Sprite out. It was a glorious podcasting experience for me to listen to. People
seem to love door cancer, it seems. Based on who has tweeted at me over the course of the past week, people responded well to me wishing the door had cancer.
It's funny how you can get away with it, but one of the guys on my Twitter who tried to say that he thought that divas were cancer got a very different response.
Well, here's the difference. Here's the difference, Kenny. People love cancer if it's two inanimate objects that can't get cancer.
Exactly. Can't sit on a pair. Yeah, if you put it on someone who can get it, it's not funny.
Like, exactly. Exactly. If you're saying, I hope he gets cancer, it's like, you monster. But it's all like, oh, man, this computer desk is really a piece of shit. I hope it gets cancer. Then it's like, oh, what a charming guy. He's so witty, wishing cancer on things.
So, Raw comes from Oakland, California, at the Oracle Arena. Now, the Oracle Arena is slightly better than some of the other arena names. That, you know, I'm on an arena name rant at the moment. I hate the names of these arenas.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so crap. Like, I remember when I was a kid and you would go to pay-per-views, like, and you'd go to, in Birmingham, they'd be at the NEC, or London, they'd go to Earl's Court, or Manchester, they'd be at the 9X Arena, and it's like, in Canada, you go to the Sky Dome, and you have all these great names.
I always remember the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, I mean, it's just sexual.
It really is. No,
whereas, like, now it's like
a strong name.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the IZOD Center. What the fuck's an IZOD? Oh, God, get a grip.
Whenever the St. Louis Rams were going to stay in town, it was one of those deals where they were trying to figure out like what the name of our new stadium would be if we, you know, ended up keeping the NFL football team. And so, you know, they were going through it, this and that and this and that. And it ended up being like CarTrader.com Arena. And I'm just like, oh, no, don't. Oh. If it says .com in it, just automatically burn it, right? Like burn it to the ground and rebuild. Because that thing is going to be cursed by the ghost of me after I have a heart attack over hating how much I hate it.
That is very true. I do want to say very quickly before I forget. On Saturday, I was sort of manning the convention for WCPW, and they had Bret Hart signing, Kurt Angle signing, Cody Rhodes signing, and I rarely see something that makes me mark out as like a collector's item that people bring to get signed, but a guy brought something, and it was the coolest fucking thing I've seen in a long time. So he has this big fucking, it was like the size of like a big painting, almost. And it was in, like, cellophane wrapping. I'm like, what the hell is that? And he's bringing it to Bret Hart. And I'm just kind of looking at him unpack. It was an actual chair from the Pontiac Silverdome.
Oh, how awesome, right?
Because apparently you could go and get one of those chairs.
You can just waltz right in and fucking take one, actually.
Had I known that, I would have fucking got one, like, without a doubt. And the guy had bought it.
You can just waltz right into that place. It's like falling apart. Yeah. You can just waltz in and take whatever you want to because it's Detroit and it's falling apart. No one cares.
Are you sure it's not been knocked down yet? I know it's getting knocked down soon.
I know it's getting knocked down soon. I don't think it has currently. I mean, it's been in that state, though, for several years, ever since the Detroit Lions left.
It's interesting because the guy bought it from Hogan.
Oh, no shit.
Hogan had it in his beach shop, and he was selling it.
Wow.
So, very cool collector. I know, man, and then also, the runner-up collector's item was a guy who had a genuine, authentic, mint-condition SummerSlam 92 souvenir ticket from the event.
Oh, that's so cool.
So,
oh,
those were two that I just... And then the third one, the last one, for Bret, that was great. And I knew this existed, but it's very rare... is the Bret Hart Simpsons action figure.
I own it, and I am staring at it right now. It's on my work desk.
Excellent, which is a and the guy had even went to the trouble of bringing a yellow Sharpie to get it signed.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, so my I love the people who do that with like the paint pens and everything, and they get those signed. Looks great.
Yeah, excellent. Anyway, it's time to
By the way, Kenny, I will tweet this out too because everybody's going to be listening to it. But I have a link handy of what the Pontiac Silverdome looks like right now. So
excellent.
I'm sending that to you, and I will also put it on Twitter. It's amazing, actually, because it's abandoned, and it's like the Earth is taking it back. It's one of those deals, right? So it's absolutely just haunting. It's like haunting photos, and they really are. It's like, holy shit, this place, this is where WrestleMania, you know, took place, you know? And it's just like, wow. Utterly nonsensical.
I mean, I would love to go there.
Oh, yeah, and I probably should. If it's still standing, my wife's from Michigan. We go up there all the time. I probably should do that, actually.
Yeah, get me a fucking chair. I'm not kidding. I want one now.
That's going to cost a lot of money to ship that over to the UK.
No, you can just – well, see, that then is the excuse for you to come to Orlando for WrestleMania and meet me in person.
No, see, I was thinking that I would just put myself in the box and ship it to London, and you could just meet
well,
me there.
Well, depending on a November result, you may end up doing that. it's funny, because obviously I'd been away for a week, so I didn't understand the grabbing pussy comment that you made in the last podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
I just thought you were being horrendously offensive to someone.
No, that's just a U.S. presidential candidate.
got it. Now you seem slightly less horrible as a person.
Right. So. I mean, you know, that if that's the model to look up to, then what does that make me?
Donald Trump, good God. Right, okay.
Good Lord.
Are we ready? Are we ready to go into the Raw-mobile?
I'm so excited. I can't wait to just get into that Raw-mobile, grab that motherfucker by the pussy, and make that pussy purr.
If you could see me right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just embarrassed to be a part of this. I want to apologize to my family, my friends.
Here's the thing, Kenny. You can't call it a Raw-mobile, right? Right? And not want the engine to purr. What do engines... Okay. Engines are purring. What makes a purring sound? A pussy, right? It fit perfectly, Kenny. God, quit being such a pervert.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking for a new co-host every Tuesday to talk about Monday Night Raw. The criteria is that you do not talk about pussy. The criteria is...
That's fine. I'm leaving inside the ropes and I'm going to run for president.
Mate, I'd probably vote for you over Trump, to be fair. I'd rather you had your hand the panic button. Right, I'm going to start this. Now, this is nonsensical. Raw begins with Sasha Banks coming out. She's the new Raw Women's Champion. It was brilliant last week. She won the belt again. Very good stuff. She comes out. She talked about her hero, Eddie Guerrero, and how, you know, it was his birthday. And, you know, she stole the show, became two-time champion. Charlotte makes her entrance to attempt to retort to Sasha's idea of having the match at Hell in a Cell in a Hell in a Cell match. But as Charlotte comes out, she's interrupted by the man who used to be my spirit animal. He is the runner-up now, Rusev, who comes out now sporting a beard without a moustache. The big sexy beast that he is. Yeah. He walks out with Lana. They get into the ring. Rusev says, no one cares about your stupid women's revolution. or that they main evented Raw. Rusev is the main event. Charlotte grabs the mic from him and says, you know, don't you disrespect the queen. And Charlotte brought up the Hell in a Cell match and the fans were chanting, yes. She said, you're on. So the match is made. Rusev then kind of took the mic back and anyway, Charlotte... Lana got involved saying that they were whiny little girls, and then Sasha and Charlotte shoved Lana down and then double dropkicked Rusev out of the ring. But Roman Reigns came to ruin all the fun. He was booed unmercifully. Rusev left, and we would find out that would set up one of the tag team matches that would be the main event of the show, kinda. Roman Reigns and Sasha against Charlotte and Rusev. What did you think of this opening segment and all the players involved?
I really thought that the opening segment here was very strong. My biggest gripe, though, came with it a little bit later, whenever it would be revealed that Charlotte and Rusev would be tagging together. These two people that went head-to-head, and wow, the entire crowd was totally behind the women in this, right? How great was that? How great was that? A guy comes out and puts down women's wrestling, and instead of the anti-Ghostbusters folks in the crowd cheering him, they ended up booing him relentlessly over it. I loved it. It played perfectly. It made me feel like the quote-unquote women's revolution isn't just pushed down our throats. It's actually working. It's natural. It is a natural progression. People are actually buying into it. I thought that it was absolutely wonderful. I thought that Charlotte, as always, was the breakout star of the segment. Out of all the players involved, I thought that she handled herself the best. That is because Charlotte is the best woman in the women's division. Sorry to say for a lot of folks out there who love Bayley and love Sasha, but Charlotte definitely is still the queen as of right now. And it you got to see that front and center because, man oh man, she just absolutely tore it up. The quips back and forth, I love the idea of the Hell in a Cell women's match. That is easily the match that I'm looking forward to the most, but it does make me a little leery that these girls are going to go out there and try to do something like the boys do. And
can I tell you a controversial opinion?
Sure.
I don't like the Hell in a Cell match for the women.
Really? Why not?
Because Hell in a Cell is one of two things. Hell in a Cell, at its best, is the only way to contain a feud.
Right, right.
A.K.A. Undertaker Shawn Michaels. Undertaker Shawn Michaels had the Ground Zero match where, you know, everything was out of control. They were, you know, Undertaker was diving onto people to get to Shawn Michaels. You could not contain them. So you put it in a cage with a lid on top. They needed that to happen.
Right.
I think that these women are better than just saying, we want to be in a Hell in a Cell because we want to create history. It's not a good enough reason. They're above it. And I'm disappointed that that's the reason we're getting it, because I don't think the feud needs it right now or has been made to show that it needs it. And I would rather... I'm not saying the match isn't going to be good.
Oh, no, it'll be great, and anyone who thinks otherwise is just plain wrong.
But the problem is I don't agree with the reasoning to do it. I think if they were going to do it, I would have preferred if we had got something between them that made you feel there was no other way to finish this than Hell in a Cell. And I don't feel that anywhere near that point. So for me, while the match would be good, I'm struggling to think of a reason why that needs to happen. Like, I think, as much as I hate to say it, there's much more of a reason to have Roman Reigns and Rusev in a cell. Because at least they've had angles about trying to get to each other and beating the holy piss out of each other.
And Roman Reigns being a mega heel against the newlyweds, yes.
Exactly. So while I don't want to be like a killjoy, I just am not a huge fan of the women being in Hell in a Cell, only because I think that there's been so many great steps with the women's revolution, and I don't feel that this... I feel that this is more, we're putting them in because they're women, rather than the feud needing it.
You know, I hate to sound like I'm crushing on old Kenny McIntosh and missing him so damn much, and that now that we're back together, I'm just going to go along with whatever he says. But I will say you have a absolutely valid point, and it's something that I didn't think of. Your expertise shines brightly in this segment, sir. Kudos.
Thank you.
I would agree with that, actually, because of the fact that a Hell in a Cell isn't something that two people should come out and agree to.
Yeah, like, right. they're doing just go, should we both get in a cell so we can say we've been in a Hell in a Cell? Yay! No, that's
right.
It's
not something that, you know, Sasha came out and she's like, I'm challenging you to Hell in a Cell, and Charlotte's like, yeah, let's do it. It should be like Charlotte going, no, I'm not getting in there with you, and then, you know, egging her on to the point that she actually does. This should have been maybe built up a little bit better. However, who's to say that it was not going to be built up better before Sasha's little mishap and her injury and dropping the title back to Charlotte, and, you know, kind of made a little hiccup, a little road bump.
It could be, and again, I'm not saying the match isn't going to be good.
Oh no, no one's saying it will. If anyone's saying that, then they're stupid, and you shouldn't listen to their opinions. And our opinions are wonderful, and you definitely should listen to them.
They're so wonderful. But I hope that for people who are listening to this now, I am a firm person behind the Women's Revolution. But I hope that even if you don't agree with me, you can see where I'm coming from on this one.
No, I do, and I am a intelligent man who listens to all sides of all conversations.
So yeah, I mean, it was, and you know, we'll talk about it when it comes up. I'm sure that hopefully they've got a couple of weeks to make it feel more that it has to happen. But up next, we got your favorite tag team, the New Day. They came out. Big E was pulling booty-os from his tights and throwing them to the crowd. Xavier Wood
eating them because they're so gross.
Yeah, I had a real problem with the sort of hygiene of where they were. Xavier Woods brought up some Bay Area sports. They had some Full House references. There's a lot of stuff going on. They were talking positively about Cesaro, but then unpositively about Sheamus, and that led us to Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston. Sheamus was okay. I said I wasn't happy that they ended up a tag team because of the best of seven series. I stand by that, but I did think it was pretty funny that Sheamus was on Facebook Live during the match rather than wrestling and just sitting down on his phone and not doing anything. And in the end, Sheamus tried to get Xavier Woods' trombone. Sheamus shoved Woods down. Big E then ended up nailing Sheamus. Cesaro got distracted, and it was a small package for Kofi Kingston to get the win over Cesaro. It was part of the story. I was fine with it. It was a nice little piece of business, as JR would say, in my opinion. What did you think of this one?
I thought it was fine. I'm still hung up on the whole no resolution to the best of seven series, because now since this got no payoff, and there was no winner, and essentially all those matches leading up to this were for nothing. How are we ever supposed to take a best of seven seriously again?
Well, I mean, the key now is that the one thing it hinges on is that Cesaro and Sheamus as a team, if they become a great team together, then maybe we could say, okay, maybe it was worth it.
Maybe so, but I mean, going for the tag team titles after being promised a main title shot, that's like going, well, you're no longer in contention for the gold medal, but here's a bronze, quite literally, with those bronze belts, penny belts.
The bad thing is, hanging about with David McCutcheon, I immediately thought he was going to go to a sex reference. I thought he was going to be like, that's the difference between you, her saying she's going to let you fuck her, but instead she just gives you a hand job. Like, I thought that was where you were going.
Oh, my God.
So I'm glad that you have risen above, sir.
Kenny. That's disgusting. I would never say anything like that. Secondly, hand jobs are gross, okay? I can do that myself. I don't need you to do that for me. And I've had enough practice at it that I'm rather good at it, okay?
First of all, I think you misconstrued any offer that was on the table there.
General you, not you.
Okay.
Kenneth.
Because you'd need to be buying me a lot of vodkas to get that to hand. But
got a little bit of Crown Royal over here, but no vodka,
You need a few buckets of Crown Royal, mate. Bayley had a match with Cammy Fields, a jobber from the area. This was Bayley's kind of hometown. Well, not hometown, but she's from the Bay Area. Big reaction for Bayley. Nice victory over Cammy Fields. And then post-match, she was going back up to the top of the stage when she was attacked by Dana Bibbs and... Yeah. What did you think of this and the post-match attack?
I thought it was very basic by the numbers. It was nice to give Bayley something to do and home crowd deal. I feel like the thing with Dana could be good.
Do you know what I loved? I thought it was great that when Dana attacked her, that the inflatable tube men just went flat and kind of went over Bayley.
Oh, it was the best. It was the absolute best. No. It was the highlight of the entire segment, actually. No. It was wonderful.
It was a nice piece of symbolism.
It was. Enjoyed it.
Chris Jericho was backstage ranting to someone on the phone about not getting something in return when R-Truth was listening, and Jericho was talking about needing a payday, and R-Truth handed him a payday candy bar. Any thoughts?
I like at the very end whenever Jericho tells him to go away, and then he's like, I didn't say that I didn't want it.
Oh, he's the best.
He is the absolute best. No. He's somebody on Twitter actually mentioned. I would go through my mentions, but I'm so popular, you guys. It would take me 5 years. I mentioned that the show Daredevil without Vincent D'Onofrio was like a 4 out of 10, but he's so good in that show that it's like an 8.5 out of 10 whenever he shows up. And somebody goes, you could say the same thing about Raw and Jericho.
That's a very fair point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whenever Jericho's on the screen, you're just like, oh, never mind. This is good. I'm going to keep the channel on. I love it.
Up next, we've got a tag team match of part of the Cruiserweight division. Sin Cara's in the Cruiserweight division. Who would care? Sin Cara and Lince Dorado against Tony Nese and Drew Gulak. This Cruiserweight division is just not doing anything for me, guys. It's just not hitting the spot for me.
It's not nearly as good as it was with the Cruiserweight Classic, and the reason is that you give guys 2 matches on the entire card, and every single one of them is some sort of tag team match where they keep on trading wins and losses, and nobody can build a character for you to care about. I'm not huge on it, but we'll get more into the singles matches of the Cruiserweight division a little bit later.
Yeah, this was fine. Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley were in the ring next. They were going to do a Hell in the Cell address. They were talking about the women, and they said, you know, Foley was talking about the women getting the match in the Hell in a Cell, and he said they don't get it because they want it, they get it because they deserve it. Which, again, horrible reason to have a Hell in a Cell match. Horrible reason. Think about it. They're getting a Hell in a Cell match because they deserve it.
You don't earn a Hell in a Cell match.
Absolute shite, Mick. Come on. You're better than this. You were in one.
You don't earn a Hell in a Cell match. That's something that you don't want to earn. You don't want it to get to that point.
That's me coming up to you and shitting on your face and going, you've earned that. I'd really rather I hadn't, to be honest.
I appreciate the offer, but that's not my fetish.
well, depends what day. So Foley ends up kind of going on saying, you know, they're going to get the Hell in a Cell match, and that's fine. Foley also said that he grants Rollins his rematch against Kevin Owens, and announced it will also be inside Hell in a Cell. Kevin Owens came out with Chris Jericho, who had his list with him. I love him more and more every minute. Owens congratulates Foley for making a stupid decision. Doesn't want to be in a Hell in a Cell match. You know, he's the Universal Champion. And Jericho's asked Mick Foley if he's granting requests like a genie in a stupid suit. Oh, God. And it kind of goes on. Jericho puts Foley on the list. Foley smiled and said, I'm on the stupid list. And it goes on. But basically, in the end, Stephanie said that she thought Raw could do even bigger and better than No Mercy. And she said that if Jericho beats Seth Rollins tonight, then he can be put into the Universal title match at Hell in a Cell. Everyone would be happy. Jericho smiles. Owens was not smiling. And Stephanie then tells Owens to have a nice day and give him a thumbs up. This was interesting. I don't know where the whole Jericho-Owens thing is going. I just hope that whatever they're doing, it continues for a while, because I'm really enjoying it.
I would. That's exactly what I was going to say. This needs to continue for a little bit. I know some people, I guess it's just the internet age that we live in, but like some people are like, why isn't Jericho turning on Owens yet? And I'm just like, calm the fuck down. There needs to be a narrative that's built before we can go and destroy anything. It's like you know, I don't know. To me, have you ever played a game of Jenga, Kenny?
I played a game with Jenga with my mother tonight, actually. So,
yeah. There you go. It's a fun game, right? But what would happen if, like, you're setting Jenga back up, right? And just, like, right as you get it just a little bit off the ground, you're about 4 rows deep out of the 20 or whatever it is, and you just knock it down immediately. And it's just like, oh, man, instant gratification there. I got to see the Jenga thing fall down. It's like, no. You need to build the Jenga thing back up to its highest point before you begin playing the game of Jenga. You don't play a game of Jenga with 4 rows. You play it with 20 rows or 30 rows or 100 rows. However many rows of Jenga you would like to play with, Kenny.
You're just firing all cylinders with these analogies, aren't you?
That's me.
That's you. Yeah. Okay. So Bo Dallas
and
Curtis
Axel. That's Robert's account, right?
Yeah, he'll send you a check.
Okay. Okay. Checks in the mail. It's what culture good.
Yeah, it'll come along with the what culture check. Just, they're bulletproof.
It's not going to bounce. Thank God.
Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel come in the ring for a tag match against Enzo and Cass. Bo's now with Curtis Axel again. I don't really know why. Once it was about to kick off, Enzo and Cass come out. They get into the ring and then they're attacked by Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. And it looks like now we have a new tag team feud, and I feel like Enzo and Cass and the club could be fun. I feel like it could be I feel like the New Day were not a good thing for the club, but I feel Enzo and Cass would be a step more in the right direction, and that the comedy is there, but it doesn't rely upon the club to deliver it, if that makes sense.
No, I would agree with that. I think I just really like Enzo and Cass as a tag team because, you know, Enzo can come in and clear house or whatever, and then, you know, Cass can come in and clear house, and then Enzo can kind of take all the bumps and everything. You know me, I like those tag teams that are mismatched in size, you know?
They're the best.
They really are. They got that Hart Foundation deal going on. You know, that guy Bret Hart that you gallivanted around the United Kingdom with? Anyways, I digress.
Not that you're best, sir.
Need to take my blood pressure pills. But no, I mean, the thing is, though, is with the New Day, the one issue with the New Day is, like, how do you really feud with them? You know? I almost feel like you have to beat them in order to have any say about that. And I'm not talking in a non-title match. I'm talking about actually beat them for the titles. So, I don't know. I feel like the New Day are just so far and above the rest of the tag division in term of perception, you know? And sometimes perception is reality, too. I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be some more serious contenders, and trying to out-comedy the New Day, that was just a horrible misstep for the club on behalf of creative. You don't out-comedy the New Day. If they would have just sent them in to pummel the New Day and be taken seriously as a legitimate threat to the New Day as opposed to a comedic threat, I don't know. It's like Mad TV to Saturday Night Live. It's just not going to work, you know?
Yep, that's pretty much how it is. But I do want to ask you about this next thing. So after the attack, Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are still in the ring. They still want opponents, and the opponents are Sami Zayn and Neville. You are the biggest Sami Zayn fan I know, / Sondra.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on this? Is it one of those things where you'd rather see Sami on TV just doing something until they figure out what they want to do with him, or is putting him here with Neville more of an annoyance to remind you that they're not doing anything with him?
I don't understand why the thing with Jericho didn't go further. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, right? You know, I mean, the former best friend of Kevin Owens versus the new best friend of Kevin Owens. Why didn't they do that? My thing is that I feel like if we're going to just wait for them to come up with something for him, that it's never going to happen because they're not, which was my fear all along with Sami Zayn. And so I don't know. I think at this point I would rather not see him than see him do stuff like this. And why isn't Neville in the cruiserweight division already?
To be fair, I was thinking that, but the alternative is seeing Sami Zayn and Sin Cara in a tag team. And That would kill my world.
Isn't Sin Cara in the cruiserweight division too, though?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. If they put Neville in and didn't put Sin Cara in, then Sin Cara would have been in this tag team spot.
Yeah, potentially. Much better Neville than, and nothing against Neville or Sami Zayn. I don't know.
I mean, the thing with Neville is, like, it's hard. I mean, Neville should be in the cruiserweight division.
No, he absolutely should. He should be the star of the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, he should. He should definitely be up there. But you know, Sami Zayn. I mean, I you know, maybe you're right, and maybe they just don't have any plan for him. But I feel like Sami Zayn is going to be one of the five guys in the Raw team at Survivor Series.
Yeah,
and And I think that's going to be his time to shine in that match.
Yeah, but as we saw with Dolph Ziggler at a Survivor Series, your time to shine at the Survivor Series, even whenever you knock it out of the park, doesn't necessarily translate to good things.
Okay, that's fair. You're right. Okay, yeah. we'll move on. You've killed my dreams. We got a match with R-Truth and Titus O'Neil. We've not talked about this yet. What do you think of the Titus O'Neil brand?
Kenny, are you buying into the Titus O'Neil brand? Would you like a small sum of investment money so we may venture forth as a duo and invest in the Titus O'Neil brand?
I had a stomach ulcer this past April, and I was hospitalized for 4 days.
Oh, that's horrible.
That hospital stay was less painful than Titus O'Neil's career.
Oh, that's... Here's the thing.
Lovely. He's the dad of the year, but I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck whether he takes his kids to Disney. Get the fuck away from my TV screen. I don't want to see him. He's a big ball of shite. He is so bad. He has no redeeming qualities. All he does is go, and nobody cares, and nobody likes it. And, I mean, I didn't think they could come up with anything worse for him, but the Titus O'Neil brand, and then he loses in, like, 2 minutes. This is a plea, ladies and gentlemen, to the WWE creative team. Do whatever you want. Beat Sami Zayn. Don't put Bayley in the main event. Do whatever the fuck you want. But please, please, get Titus O'Neil the fuck off my television. Thank you very much.
So harsh. And here I was thinking that you were more of a Pancake Patterson fan.
Tell me 3 good things about Titus O'Neil. 3.
He's a good dad.
Fuck off.
He dressed as Pancake Patterson once, which was a precursor to Dolph Ziggler playing Colonel Sanders. And
So far we've got 2 non-related non-wrestling facts about him.
No, he's a good dad in the ring too, though. I can't come up with a 3rd, Kenny. I'm sorry. I tried to do right by you, but I couldn't.
Well, we'll wait for that best of Titus O'Neil box set, which should last 6 seconds. Yeah, this was crap. TJ Perkins is backstage. I like this. I really enjoyed this. TJ Perkins talks to Brian Kendrick. He's like, you know you're not the guy that you put across. You're not the real Brian Kendrick. You're not about cheap tricks. I remember the road trip where you know, my N64 was broken, you got me a new one, and, you know, it's not too late for you to be the guy that I know, and they shake hands, and then Kendrick stood up to sucker punch TJ Perkins, but Perkins beat him to it, and he just went, guess I was wrong.
And then Brian Kendrick cowered.
Yeah, and this was the first time in the Cruiserweight division so far that I've been like, I'm digging this.
Oh, it's great. It was actually a highlight of Raw, I think. I really enjoyed this. I thought that it was genuine. TJ got across all of his gaming references, which was great to me as a guy who's dedicated my entire life to that field. And, you know, I mean, it's how I still make my living to this very day with video games. So I obviously resonate with that. I love it. And you know, he was hammering that home. But man, oh man, Brian Kendrick is one of my favorite characters on Raw, actually. I really, really dig the stuff that he's doing. Him on commentary later in the evening, which we'll get to. Just absolute gold, though, on commentary.
It was very good.
Maximizing your minutes, you guys. JR, who you also, by the way, gallivanted with in the United Kingdom. JR always says, maximize your minutes whenever you're on television. And Brian Kendrick nailed that. He absolutely did.
I just call him Jim. I don't call him JR anymore. When you're friends,
good old Jim. You don't even say good old Jim.
You just get rid of the gimmick names.
Whenever you're that friendly, you just hold on 1 second. Let's Google what Jim Ross's full name is.
It's James Ross.
James William Jim Ross. Okay, so you're like, hey JW, how's it going?
Do you know what he did actually at one point? We're sitting on a train going to Newcastle.
Sure.
And we're just like, and I'm sitting there trying to tuck into some breakfast. And he just starts cutting a promo on me in a Terry Funk voice.
You egg-sucking dog.
Kenny, you egg... I can't do the accent, but it's like, Kenny, you egg-sucking dog. And just started, I was like, okay.
Kenny, come on now. You have to do a Terry Funk impression.
I can't. Like, I'm Scottish.
Like, I'm really terrible at doing the Terry Funk impressions, but I'm still going to try it, Kenny, you egg-sucking dog.
But at least you have the American accent to guide you nearer to the Terry Funk.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But Terry Funk, the only thing
that topped that in the bizarre list, and I'm genuinely not shitting you guys here, is I was texting Bret Hart on Saturday about something, and he texted me back and gave me a kiss in the text.
Oh my God, how could you not lead with this, Kenny? Like that should have been, like, whenever we first started talking off the air, it shouldn't even have been like, hey, Kenny, hey, David, how you doing? Oh, you know, I'm doing okay. It should have just been, fucking Bret Hart gave me text kisses.
One kiss. He didn't want to commit. He gave me one.
Well, hey, if I know one thing about Bret Hart after reading his book, it's that he liked kissing numerous people at least once.
This is very true. But that was where it ended. I will keep you all updated though on the Bret Hart kisses if we do continue to text. But Braun Strowman came out to face the Splash Brothers, defeated them very quickly. I have one question for you. Who do you think is going to be the real competition for Braun Strowman?
That's actually a great question.
I think I know who it is.
I was actually contemplating this and trying to figure it out myself. Who do you think it is, actually? Since you have someone concrete, I want you to go first, because I don't.
I think it's the Big Show.
Yeah, that was my guess, too. Damn it, I was hoping that it would be interesting.
I can't give you interesting, but I can give you who they're probably going to do it with. Can you imagine being at those house shows? Oh, fuck.
Oh. That is the go take a shit match right there. Like, you don't even go take a piss for that. You've got to evacuate your bowels whenever you see that on the card. God damn.
Absolutely horrendous. But we did then get the tag match with Roman Reigns and Sasha Banks against Rusev and Charlotte. Mixed tag team action. And in the end, Sasha put the bank statement on Charlotte. And Rusev speared... Reigns speared Rusev to prevent him breaking up the pin. Charlotte taps out for a victory for Roman Reigns and Sasha in about 10 minutes. Fun tag team match.
I hated it.
You hated it?
I did, because of the entire premise that it was built on. Rusev comes out, healing it up, and diminishes women's wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. Charlotte gives him an earful and beats his ass, right? Throws him out of the ring. Here's the thing. Why is she all of a sudden pals with Rusev and willing to work with him? I'll tell you the way this should have been booked. It should have been him about to make the hot tag to her and her walking away and just going, no, brother, fuck you, and then just stomping out, and then him left in the cold, and while dismayed, getting a spear and pin. That's how that should have shaken out, because it would have automatically thrown that back in his face that he diminished women's wrestling that way. And I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way on all cylinders, so I couldn't enjoy the actual fun match itself. I was too bothered by it.
It's a very good point, and I think the way you presented that there as it being booked would have been a much better execution. So,
thank you.
Fair play.
Thank you, sir.
Tom Phillips interviewed Owens and Jericho backstage. Tom Phillips was kind of trying to, you know, create a little bit of tension, you know, like asking why Owens didn't help Jericho last week. And Owens was saying that, you know, Jericho understands that one member of the team has to stay healthy and strong, the other has to take a bullet for the team. And Tom Phillips ended up on Jericho's list, as he always does. But up next
Hold on a second. You can't gloss over stupid idiom, okay? that was the highlight of Raw. Jericho going, that's a stupid idiom for a stupid
Jericho,
idiot.
Jericho is just, like, he's so good.
On fire. Some of the I said it last week. I think that he is doing his best stuff since WCW, which was my favorite Jericho. And it feels
Which
natural.
Which is a bold claim, yeah.
It is a very bold claim, and I feel like he is doing some of the absolute best stuff that he's ever done in his career, and I can't wait to see where it goes next.
Yeah, I am intrigued, but...
Also, let me go ahead and ask you, actually. Do you think he could have a Universal title run at some point?
I would have said yes, but I think the thing that will hold him back from that is the time of year that it is. Because
yeah,
I feel
actually,
like they,
yeah,
I feel they're gonna have their egg in the basket of who they want it for at the Rumble and then WrestleMania. I don't think he's gonna get it at those two occasions. I think if where we were right now was like May or June, I think he would have had a good shot at getting it.
Yeah, yeah, and something that I hear very often on Twitter, and I've never answered it. I'll ask you though, and we can talk about it together real quick.
Okay.
When do you think Jericho and Owens will fight?
I can tell you when I'd like to see it.
Sure. That works too.
WrestleMania.
Oh.
I want Jericho to be very close to winning the Royal Rumble and have Owens cost him it.
Oh.
I think that could be a great story.
That could be a very good story. I would agree. I think it would happen at the Royal Rumble, by the way.
Well, there we go. We've got the same event. Because I think that Jericho is going to be the one that goes babyface.
No, it definitely will. But here's the thing, Kenny. One of the most over things on the entire fucking show is Jericho's clipboard. Okay? Jericho got a fucking clipboard over. How good is this guy?
Yep, he did. It's a very valid point. He managed to get a clipboard over. Take notes, Titus.
You just made the list, Titus.
Yeah, get your brand a fucking clipboard. Anyway, up next is Paul Heyman, back on Raw. Paul
your
Heyman,
friend,
you know.
Paul Heyman.
My associate, Paul Heyman.
Another man you've been known to text message, but no kisses.
Well, we WhatsApp, actually, but that's... Neither here nor there. Oh, God, I sound like such a wanker. I hope you all know that I am absolutely joking, and I don't actually seriously, legitimately think that I am in any way important.
Don't worry, I'm paired with you, so I can knock you down a peg here and there.
Well, that's about 12 pegs. But I do want to give major props to Paul Heyman because I don't want to give away his own sort of deal, but he was looking to lose weight, and I think he's lost a fair bit of weight. You could see him look more slim on this show, and I'm a guy who wants Paul Heyman around for a long, long time, and a healthier Paul Heyman is something that is good for everybody, so I'm glad that he is in a place where that's happening for him.
I would agree, absolutely. Paul is obviously one of, like, the three... most influential people in wrestling of our lifetime, I would say. You know, you got Vince right up there and, Steve Austin. And I would say that Paul Heyman is even more integral than Hulk Hogan. So, ooh.
Yeah, that's another bold claim, but I can't disagree with it.
Yeah.
So Paul Heyman comes out to respond to the appearance by Goldberg on ESPN last week where he says he owes Brock Lesnar a rematch. Heyman comes out, he talks about being the advocate for the Beast, he sets up, you know, the footage, and he says, you know, there it is, just as you remember him, and that for 12 years people have asked if they could experience that one more time, a jackhammer, a spear, and he said that whenever something new got on a roll, you'd hear the Goldberg chants, fans chanting Goldberg, and Heyman goes on to talk about how Goldberg used to victimize and conquer people and all that sort of stuff, and Heyman said that he's been authorized by his client to come out and challenge Goldberg to a fight one-on-one, Beast versus Myth, Icon versus Icon. And then he said that in Suplex City, you're not Goldberg, you're next. Paul Heyman cut such a great promo here that for a lot of people, that I think there's a lot of people who probably were like, Goldberg, Lesnar, don't know. This sold it, I think. What did you think of Heyman's promo?
I absolutely loved it, as always. I mean, I don't think I've ever been like, Ah, what a shit promo whenever Paul Heyman's out there. You're guaranteed to be entertained, and obviously the Your Next singer, just so good, so perfect, so wonderful. I'm not any more excited for this match, though. This is a match that I just don't care about. Goldberg cut a incredibly tame, lukewarm promo on SportsCenter, and I don't know, that kind of... With how laid back that promo was, I was like, oh boy, sleepy time, you know? So I that didn't win me over. Paul Heyman, I'm still not excited for it, but I did love the promo. The of course, the issue is, though, is that it takes two to tango, right? And if Goldberg's just going to kind of come into it and be the part-timer soaking in the response from the fans and everything, as opposed to actively putting in a performance, then I can't really buy into it. I can't suspend my disbelief long enough to care.
All I can tell you is that when I was at SummerSlam weekend and I was part of the media thing for 2K, and Goldberg was there, he's a captivating guy. He's a guy that is charismatic. And I think the problem with this is more on people like Sondra's end, who doesn't really know who he is or have that much. I said this to Sondra, I think this is the best way to describe it. Goldberg worked so well within an environment that he was
yes,
in.
Yes.
And it's all going to depend on how the people react to him. If people react to him, I think this will be great. If people don't react to him, I think it'll be very average. But yes. I don't have any worries about the match. I think that they are going to put on a smoke and mirrors type of match. You know, I'll say it again, but, you know, Survivor Series this year could be a great show. Goldberg-Lesnar, maybe a title match. All these five-on-fives that are going to be between people who don't get to wrestle every week. It's going to be a unique show. And I think the reason I like this match, if it was happening at WrestleMania, I'd probably want to throw myself out a window because I don't want any more part-timer matches. But at a Survivor Series, a show that needs a boost in name value, I'm okay with bringing back Goldberg for it.
Yeah, I read that they did this intentionally to kind of line it up to promote their 2K video game as well.
Yeah, it's smart. You know, it's smart, and I think Goldberg's going to be on Raw next week. I'm super curious about what the reaction is going to be to him.
Me too. Yeah,
because it's been 12 years since he's been here.
It has. A lot of these kids who they weren't even born yet.
So it'll be. I'm intrigued.
You have teenagers who may not even know who he is. That makes me feel very old.
Yeah, I don't want to think about how old that makes me feel. Yeah. Up next, though, we got T.J. Perkins and Arya Divari, younger brother of Sean Divari, who used to be in WWE.
Yeah.
And we got that match, and it was a pretty decent match. It didn't go too long. Brian Kendrick was at ringside, obviously. It says he was sick of hearing Perkins' story, and it's no different to anyone else in the locker room. Said, "Cry me a river."
Love the line that he delivered where they asked him why he headbutted TJ Perkins after the match. And he's like, "I didn't want to move to the back of the line. By doing this, that puts me immediately back in front." And I thought, that's just so brilliant, right?
Like, it's so clever.
What a good line. What a good line. He's all like, "I don't have enough time to go back to the back of the line. I need to win now and remain relevant so I can get that spotlight." And I love it. I think that it's logical. It's within the realm of wrestling. It's just great. I love Brian Kendrick as a character. He's so good.
Can I make some breaking news?
Sure, as long as it's not a bowel movement. Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, two pieces of breaking news have happened that I feel we should share right now. They're both NXT related, but they are fantastic. Number one, Roderick Strong has debuted at the NXT tapings. But the big news, this is exciting. At NXT TakeOver Toronto, Asuka will defend the NXT Women's Championship against Mickie James.
Oh, holy shit. Wow. Wow. That's crazy, right?
I am floored by this. What a...
Two very good developments.
Yeah, two fantastic developments.
Yeah, yeah. True story. Roderick Strong once chewed me out at a wrestling event.
Really?
Yeah. True story. It was my fault. Truth be told. It was a wrestling event, and it was getting a little too comical, and they were trying to start the match. And I made a quip, and a lot of people laughed at it. I forget exactly what it was, but then he just looked at me and goes, "Do you mind if I start the match?" and I just put my hands up, and I go, "No, sir, feel free."
Jesus.
He could put me through the ringer and murder me, you guys. He absolutely could.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's funny. I was actually considering going to Survivor Series.
Sure.
Just because I have some money, and I was like, why not? And every day, it's like they're asking me to go more and more. Because now we've got Mickey James, got Goldberg, got tons of shit going on. No doubt.
Absolutely. Good on Mickey James, and of course, good on Roderick Strong.
Yeah, good news for them. So TJ Perkins beat Arya Daivari in the match. Kendrick stood up and applauded him at the end as he walked up the ramp. Good storyline progression here. We then got the main event, which was Seth Rollins, Chris Jericho. Really good match, as always. Chris Jericho is excellent in the ring. Seth Rollins is also very, very good in the ring. Rollins went for the pedigree in the end. Jericho avoided it. Rollins went for his finisher again. Jericho went for his finisher, and Rollins countered it into a pin. Seth beat him 20 minutes. And after the match, Kevin Owens attacked Rollins. Rollins avoided the pop-up powerbomb. And in the end, Owens saved Jericho. Had a chance to save him and didn't. Because Kevin Owens is not a good friend, David.
No, he's not.
That's the message.
He is not a good friend. No, he is absolutely not. A horrible friend, actually.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Just like you, Kenny. Bringing Bret Hart around the world. I like that it just keeps getting more elaborate.
Yeah.
You boarded that hot air balloon, Kenny. You went to Barcelona. Then you flew all the way across.
You had sex with my childhood hero. Just going to escalate continuously.
Along with 3,000 other people, apparently.
So we end Raw with Owens not helping Jericho. The Hell in a Cell match being talked about, and Goldberg on Raw next week. I thought this was a good Raw. Like, I enjoyed enough of it for it to make it a decent show. I don't think it was great, but I would give it a good sort of like... I'd give it a 6.5 out of 10. I was happy with it. How about you? Yeah. How did you find the show overall, and what rating are you awarding this, Mr. McCutcheon?
Without Brian Kendrick, I would probably give this one like a 5.5, but Brian Kendrick alone, you guys, kudos to Brian Kendrick setting this up. I'm going to give it a 6.5. I'm going to agree with you, Kenny.
Oh, I always like it when we agree.
I do too. It very rarely happens, but whenever it does, it's magic.
It is. I want to thank David for being my co-host here in the Raw Rundown. I don't say it enough, but he is a very good man to podcast with.
Thank you, sir.
I get to talk about Raw every week. Sondra and I will be back with a new retro Raw Rundown. You can also get our SmackDown Summit that's up right now. Robert and I will be recording something over the weekend, and we'll be back next week for all the usual shows. Thank you very much, and stay tuned for something next week, which will be available, which will be some new VIP content for everyone.
Oh, the VIP stuff's very good. Primo stuff. Primo.
And also a chance for you to give back to your friends here at Inside the Ropes, if you so desire.
That's very true. Also, Inside the Ropes is doing things for the people, right? It monetarily, if you put your monetary goods towards it, Inside the Ropes is bringing broken Matt Hardy along to the UK, right? Is he not? Are you going to do that, or are you not going to do that, Kenny?
I'm going to do that, and I want to say, without any sort of hyperbole, we are 3/4 of the way sold out in Glasgow.
Wow.
We've sold out of general admission tickets. We've sold out of the ultimate VIP. We only have limited amount of regular VIP tickets left. In London, we are 60% sold out. In Manchester, we are 60% sold out. This tour is going to be sold out. Please make your plans now. InsideRopes.co.uk. This is going to be a special tour. He is going to be broken. You're not going to want to miss it. So please
who knows
do...
any of the off-the-wall shit that is going to come out of his mouth, man? Like, I mentioned it last week. If you're, like, seriously, if you're just wanting to check the limits of a young lass or a young lad that you are dating, and you want to go, let's see just how crazy they are, take them on a date to go see Broken Matt Hardy. Do it for me, okay, you guys? Because that is going to be a date that you will never forget. Because this is not just about wrestling. This is entertainment. Broken Matt Hardy is very entertaining, okay? He is the Tommy Wiseau of the wrestling world, which is the highest compliment I can give. Definitely go to these shows. Where and when are the shows?
London is November 28th. The tickets are sold out in our end, but they are going to be available. The remainder of the tickets will be available through the Garage Highbury Direct. I'm hoping tomorrow. If not, it'll be Monday. Manchester is November 29th. Glasgow is December 4th. And Cork is December 5th. Big shout out to Cork. All the people that came along to the Cody Rhodes show gave us a great reception. And more importantly, I was nervous as fuck in Cork because I didn't have any of the team with me. It was me on my own. And the people of Cork, when I came out to be the host, could have just shat the bed, and you gave me a polite applause, and that put me at ease. So I very much appreciate that. It made a Scottish man very happy. So thank you. Get your tickets at insidetheropes.co.uk, ladies and gentlemen. That's where it's at.
And it's going to be something that you will not want to miss. And here's the thing is I always say that about these shows. Because it's true. You don't want to miss these shows, you guys. These shows...
Where else in the world could you see Cody Rhodes flip off Stardust?
See, this is the type of stuff, too, that, like, the performers themselves, and these guys do this stuff for a living, right? Like, Jim Ross, he goes around the world doing this stuff, right? But he's mentioning Inside the Ropes on his blog, the podcast, everything. Why is he doing that? Because Inside the Ropes has left a positive impression on a absolute pro of a veteran, a guy who's been all around the world and worked with numerous people. If someone like that goes, yeah, that show was really good, then it must have been really, truly, 100% honestly good, okay? Do not sleep on any more of these Inside the Ropes shows. If you've never been, what are you waiting for? Broken Matt Hardy is the perfect one to go to.
It's true. It's true. I am not the sort of person that would say that, but David can say it for me, so I
it's
appreciate
true.
It.
It's true. And that is absolute honesty, 100% authenticity. I love everything that Kenny does, especially talking to me. Here at the run, at the Raw Rundown, and you know
the Raw Rundown.
I love it. I love it. And you know what we've actually
did we accurately raw down the run of Raw?
You beat me to it, and you did it without even stumbling over your words. So
I stumbled in my head. I don't know how they got out.
It turned out all right, Kenny. It turned out all right.
Like dropping the kids off at the pool. It was the same kind of thing.
Way too good. You can find me on Twitter, by the way, at ZoopSoul. That is ZOOPSOUL. Ain't I great, Kenny?
Yes, you are. You can find me at KennyMC1985. I'm fastly becoming the only What Culture member to not have a blue tick beside my name, because I'm a man of the people, and also I don't put myself out there enough to get more followers. So, whichever way you slice it, that's why. Yeah, thanks for listening again. We'll be back soon. And just to confirm, next week on the Raw Rundown, 100%, we will be joined by Cesaro. So look out for that. He will be on this show next week to promote the November UK tour. And then the week after that, it's going to get even bigger. We're going to have former WWE Women's Champion Charlotte on the show as well. So
Raw
Rundown, forget and some guests, ladies and gentlemen.
My goodness. It's going to be a hell of a ride. Do not want to miss it.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.